I'm Brian McCreath. I'm at Tanglewood with Conrad Tau, who is making his BSO and Tanglewood debut tonight here at the Kuzovitsky Music Shed. Conrad, thanks for taking a few minutes to talk with me today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for talking to me.
So your career is becoming more and more well-known for, if I might put it this way, eclecticism. You take on so many different things. You compose, you do amazing collaborations like the one with Caleb Tiger, and here you are performing concertos. You just performed in Rockport as a chamber musician. Okay, so laying all that out, do you have a way of organizing all this in your head and a systematic way of moving from one of these roles to another, or are you fortunate enough to allow your whims to take you wherever you need to go at any time?
I am quite lucky. I am quite lucky that I can sort of, it's not just following whims, it's also that the interesting thing about being a classical musician is that we have our lives planned out, our professional lives are planned out pretty far in advance. But I've been doing this long enough now that I have all these different facets that I've been able to sort of, I don't know, it feels a little bit like I planted some seeds a while back that are now like all really coming to bloom, and now I just get to like kind of tend to everything. So that, it feels really, really wonderful. I'm always trying to, my goal is always to feel like everything's very integrated and speaking to the same thing. Switching from different parts of my brain, switching from like a more writing headspace into a performing headspace, it feels like it feeds that.
So do you ever worry? Have you come to the point yet where you worry that one of these pursuits is sort of coming at the expense of something else?
I used to worry about that a lot more, actually. I think a few years ago I was wondering if... I think I'm more in an accepting place where I think that, you know, I think I might be destined to be a dilettante in some respects for the rest of my life, because I'm restless and curious and also get bored quickly, so I've tried to use that to my advantage because it's something that I have perceived in the past as like a weakness, and now I'm thinking, well, there's another side to it, which is that. I am curious about a lot of things, and I try to have all of the different parts of my life talk to each other. So hopefully it leads to some kind of internal cohesion. It maybe not from the outside. I'm not so sure. That's maybe not for me to decide.
Well, it's okay for those of us on the outside to just sort of perceive all the things you're doing. But that leads us to this concerto that you're doing here, and that idea of overlap and cross-fertilization and revel. So how does all your activity come into your mind as you're doing a concerto? Or do you need to sort of keep a little bit of segregation there? Do you need to sort of like say, look, I'm just going to do Ravel right now and not worry about it? But do you find inevitably that some of those ideas and things you have in other areas inform the way you're playing the Ravel G major?
I think for my sanity, everything I'm doing has to inform everything I'm doing. Like, and everything I'm thinking about. I have a few thoughts. One is that there is a little bit of an element of like so-called cross pollination, if you want, baked into the piece, because Ravel was really inspired by American jazz, which was really sweeping 1920s Paris, which sounds like such a romantic time sometimes. Like, you read about that stuff, and you read about that period. It's an incredible, inspiring atmosphere. So there is this element of just like cross-genre curiosity just in the work already. So that's just one small thought. And then for me personally, this piece has some personal resonance. About 11 or 12 years ago, I have this really vivid memory of being a student at the Aspen Music Festival and practicing this piece, the second movement of this piece, practicing it in a practice room that no longer exists. They've redone their campus, and practicing with the windows open. And so there was the sound of a creek rushing by in the background. And there was like the, you know, avian insect hum. And then there was me and the piano. And I have this really, really powerful memory of that being like an early experience with like listening to music as like a real totality of everything, all of the sound that I was hearing, the natural sound, the sound outside of the practice room that was coming in. And it was just a really deep, I now have better words to describe it, but it was like a really deep listening experience, to use like Oliveros's term. So that really sticks with me, and that actually, to me, speaks to like broader ideas about cross-fertilization. Right now, for better or worse, I think I use performance sometimes as a way of like channeling what I'm thinking about or how I'm feeling. So like right now, I mean, with that memory of the piece in my mind from like over a decade ago, right now I think it's, the piece is in some ways a channel for, you know, trying to deal with the world right now and dealing with the world today. I cannot escape from the fact that that what is happening to the Amazon right now brings me like deep, deep despair. So somehow the gift or challenge of performing is, how can you be honest about where you're at and still be honest to the music? So that becomes the experience these days.
What an amazing story. What an amazing vision. And if you hadn't said Aspen, I might have thought that you were talking about Tanglewood.
I know. I'm like, do I say the other festival?
No, it's okay. It's a beautiful place that is one of the few places that might even rival Tanglewood for those sorts of moments. But it does capture that essence of unification that you're talking about, that is the special thing about places like this. You were asked to do this on fairly short notice, and Ingrid Fleeter wasn't able to travel. So it's our benefit that you're here. We love Ingrid too, but is the Ravel one that you just kind of have under your fingers that you're ready to go with at any time almost?
It's one of those pieces for me. It's also a piece that I'm happy to pick up at any point. So that, of course, is a huge part of it. But I also played the piece recently in May with the Colorado Symphony, and I'm performing it a couple times in September, so it worked out well.
Yeah. When you think back, and I think given your story just now, I may know the answer to this already, but I'll ask anyway, is the Ravel G major one of those pieces that when you first decided, I want to play this, it flowed naturally, sort of like you took it and you knew what to do with it? Or is it a piece that you had to spend time with, dissect, take apart, understand intellectually, allow it to reach your emotion? Was it a longer process, or was it more intuitive for you?
It's always a long process. I mean, it's always a long process in the sense that I it's really one of the amazing things about performing old music is that you get to revisit it, and it already like has a pretty like dense constellation already exists of people who've taken on the piece and interpreted the piece, and you know, luckily we have, with recordings, we have documentation of this. So evidently there is endless possibility within the work, and so I think that applies within one person as well. So it's constantly changing, it's constantly shifting as I shift as a person, and I have loved the piece, however, for a very, very long time. And for, I tend to not know exactly why something sticks with me, some combination of sentimental memory and then just also a sort of more mysterious curiosity or attraction. This piece, for years, I mean, still, I'm performing it more now, but I first performed it in 2009 publicly, and 10 years ago, and I still don't feel like I always want to play it more. This is the piece that I always wanted to play more, and so I don't know why. I could not really tell you why, but something about it really speaks.
Conrad Tao, it's great to be here with you. Welcome to Tanglewood, and looking forward to the performance tonight. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Brian.